Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name's Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. Please go to my website, subscribe there, inquire at the page that the tab that says free ebook, and follow the instructions there. Get a copy of my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. At the same time, will be made available to you The Last Prophecy, published by Cross the Border Publishing, and subtitled Horae Apocalypticae 2015. So that'll be made available to you absolutely free in an e-publication form there, along with, of course, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. So make sure you get those and read them. That'll bring you up to date on where we stand in prophecy today. And we're talking true Bible prophecy, the true prophetic of God's Word. That's what we're interested in here. We're continuing our series on minor prophets for interesting times. And oh, they were interesting days, that the days that these prophets, and you know what's so interesting about it is they closely parallel the days that we are living in. We live in interesting times, to say the least, and frightening times if your eyes are wide open and you don't trust in God and you begin to see the peril around us. You might be frightened, and unless you come to Him, and He will quiet your fears. Oh yes, as the Proverbs say, be not afraid of sudden fear. It doesn't mean that you won't find the things that are happening around us frightening, but it means that you, though you may feel fear, you're not going to be controlled by fear. So these are the days, these interesting times in which we live. We're looking at Zephaniah. We made it to verse 9, which I'm repeating again because I have a little more commentary to bring it home to our day and to current headline news. In the same day, I will always punish all those that leap upon the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And, you know, and I can think of nothing in contemporary society that fits the bill of this verse than those that use the law to rob their neighbor for their masters through asset forfeiture in America. An innocent man taking cash to go make a purchase, or because he doesn't trust in banks or whatever, and in his automobile, he gets stopped by the police. And the police ask him, do you have any large amounts of cash? And he thinks, well, I haven't stole this. This is mine. I have nothing to fear. So he tells the policeman, yes, I have $10,000. And the police seizes the money because he has a law that allows him to rob his neighbor. Eh? So he leaps upon the threshold of his neighbor to fill his master's house with violence. It's force, because the policeman has the threat of violence. That's what force is. And he uses the deceit of the law to rob. He knows he's robbing his neighbor. He knows his neighbor is an innocent victim to the letter of a corrupt law. Very fitting that the same thing was happening in Zephaniah's day, and God sought to punish the nation for one of the evils, and this was just one of the evils of the day. And so it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be a noise of cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Moktesh. And of course, Moktesh was an area of Jerusalem, like one of the boroughs of New York, perhaps. That's what Moktesh was to Jerusalem, where the merchants, and they crafted silver. And of course, now you picture it, Jerusalem and Judah is a picture of the visible church on earth. It would be a symbol of the whole visible church on earth today. And you have the inhabitants of Moktesh out there in the outer court of the of the Revelation Temple, which is a picture of the visible church on the whole earth. And what are they doing? They're crafting with their crafts idolatry mixed with true worship. The same thing we talked about a little bit earlier, that sect of the priesthood was doing, or that sect of the Jewish church was doing. And so they're taking advantage of their craft, crafting idols and mixing it with the name of Yahuwah, or today the name of Jesus. And they're selling them and making merchandise of the people through their crafts. He says, howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down. This is their judgment. They're cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their leaves and say in their heart, what is this word leaves here? Let me check that one out. I got to take a look at that. It's a little bit archaic. And that would be something preserved, that is settlings of wine, dregs on the leaves. So those that are settled on their leaves, those that are that imbibe in, well, drugs, wine, settled on their leaves, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. And, you know, I have a neighbor over here by me, and he smokes marijuana. Yeah, he thinks that's just fine. He goes to church every Sunday, and he thinks he's good. And what is he thinking in his heart? The Lord isn't going to do good or evil to me. He's not going to judge me for this. It's okay with him. And they justify their drunkenness, their wine-bibbing. They justify it in their heart. Say, no, God's not going to punish me for this. Look, he's letting me get away with it. I'm still accepted at church, and I feel good. Like I'm a good man, then that God accepts me. Therefore, their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. And I know too many of these people. They're settled on their leaves. And whether they even drink or smoke or do drugs, many of them are just high. Like I said before, in on their own endorphins, or they're high in their own adrenaline, or they're high in some party spirit, because they go to the world goes to a concert. And you see them jumping up and praising and doing all of the same things that you look over and see Christians doing at a Christian concert. All they're doing is feeling the spirit of the event, and they think that it is the Spirit of God, and they get high on that. The adrenaline flows, the endorphins flood their brain, and they think, oh, it is the Spirit of God. But then they go home, and they don't work for their bread, and they live on the benefits of the beast system about them through the robbery and violence and force that is inflicted upon their neighbor. He says, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of Yahuwah, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of Yahuwah's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even the speedy riddance, even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Of course, this is the foreboding judgment that God is speaking through Zephaniah that will come shortly after in the Babylonian invasion, then desolation and destruction of Judah, Jerusalem, and the temple, and the 70 years captivity where the king of Babylon carried the entire nation captive and laid waste Jerusalem and Judah. Can it happen here? Will it happen here? Will God judge? Well, he may not carry us captive, but he certainly can lay waste. And it wouldn't take much, as we see from the destruction and the terrible armaments that fill the nations of the earth today. Who will be the sword in God's hand against those that have fallen back from the Lord in our day, in our land? Their fathers and their fathers' fathers went to church, and some of them even followed hard after God, but they have forgotten, and they have adopted the idolatry of their public school temples, and now teach it to their own children. So the high priests and the leaders in the public school temples now heap more evil and more wickedness upon them. Yet they don't move. They continue to go to church on Sunday, but they don't remove their children from the public school temples of idolatry and wickedness, and they allow even their children and their children's children to be taught even more wickedness. Oh, God's people need to repent. If you call yourself by his name, you attend his visible church, and you say, Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that he says, repent and do the things that he says. Pull your children out of those school public schools just because it's free. You say, oh, the beast is handing out benefits. I have to take it. It's free. No, you don't. You can obey God and forget not all of his benefits. Remember, he gave you your own life, the greatest benefit of all. And then he gave you the ability to work. Your labor is a gift from God. What are you doing with it? And your children are a gift from God, and you turn them over to Baal, the priests of Satan, to learn wickedness, and you lose them, and you lament and cry because they rebel against you, and they don't go to church every Sunday anymore. Well, why should they? They've done exactly what you bid them to do. You said, go to school and learn. Did you care what they were learning? Well, you knew what they were learning because you went the same place. And that the wickedness and the evil and the idolatry is multiplied. Well, what did you expect? Your parents didn't do anything about it. They left you there. And now are you going to leave your children there? Are you going to pull them out? Yes, repent. The kingdom is at hand. And repent is a good word. It means to change your mind. To bring your thinking in compliance with the law of God. To learn obedience that you may live and receive all of the promises of God. See, everyone wants the promises of God, but they don't want to follow in his ways. It's easier to give in to the temptations of the flesh and all of the things that sin and the benefactors the called benefactors of this world have to offer. It's much easier to go along with the world than to stand against it. Let's jump into chapter 2 of Zephaniah. Verse 1. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord is come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. So we got the judgment. Now God is taking a reprieve and he's saying, come together. Gather yourselves together. Seek the Lord before his anger comes. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, that you may be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Now, many people have this mistaken idea that when judgment comes, that this hiding is going to somehow exempt them from feeling the judgment that is going on around them. But they have this escapist mentality, and they've even developed for our day. They call it pre-wrath. They have a pre-wrath doctrine. And of course, when judgment comes, it's only wrath on the wicked. It's tribulation for his people. When God marked his people in Ezekiel, when he went through the city and he marked the servants of God in their forehead, he didn't remove them. He didn't rapture them out, violently take them away. He marked them that the judgment wasn't for them. Some lived through it. Some were martyred in it. But it wasn't wrath upon them. It was wrath upon the wicked. And when wrath upon the wicked comes, when a nation, a city, and a people is judged, how can the righteous rejoice? Well, we only rejoice in that all of the promises of God are ours, and the anger and the wrath are not ours. Though we feel it, and though it happens all around us, we understand that this life is only temporary, and that our reward is not in it, but our reward is beyond it. And that's where our faith takes us, so we can stand in any day without fear. Continuing in verse 4, for Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted out. Woe to the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. So now extending the judgment to the Philistines around them and the neighboring towns around Jerusalem and Judah. And the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon. In the houses of Ashkelon they shall lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. So perhaps an instruction here to the faithful, to the remnant, where they're to escape to in the context here. Zephaniah continues, I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revelings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This they shall have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. And so what's going on here? We've seen this in our day, and when some judgment came upon America, whether you believe 9-1-1 was an inside job or not, well, the pagans stood off and they jumped up and down and they joyously shouted with glee at the suffering of others. God doesn't look kindly when people look on their neighbors in judgment and desolation and destruction and tribulation, and they rejoice in it. Oh, God is not pleased with that, so He judges them too. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for He will famish all the gods of the earth. He will starve all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship Him, every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword, and will stretch out his hand against the north, and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and a dry wilderness. So we see the same pattern here arising, and the saying goes that judgment begins at the house of God. And Israel was the house of God. Israel, in that day, was the visible church on earth. If we can take it as a symbol, symbolically, it represented God's church on earth, the visible church. The whole church was there. And many, the many of the whole church going to Jesus' preaching, and there in Matthew chapter 7, where he speaks of the many and the few. And when he focuses it on the visible church, and he says, many will come in that day and proclaim what they did for me. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. And I will say to them, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity, depart from me. That was the many of the visible church. And we see the same picture here in Israel, being the entire nation, and now especially Judah, because Israel, the northern kingdoms, were already cut off for their idolatry, which only increased after they were cut off. But we see the picture of the visible church and the many of that visible church going over to idolatry and then being judged for their idolatry, the entire nation, the remnant, perhaps having wilderness or places of refuge set up for them, as foretold here in even Zephaniah, a word that they would understand as remnant, that this is where I'm to go. And so many of them fled out of the places that would receive the judgment to those places where it said that they would inhabit. And then, so God judged. Judgment begins at the house of God, and then He followed and judged all of the nations around that looked upon that judgment and gloried in it and reveled in it and cheered it on, because their enemy, God's people, was being judged. The enemy of their idols and their false gods was being judged. And God does not look kindly when a man looks on his neighbor's distress and rejoices in it. He hates his neighbor without a cause. God says he's a murderer in his heart, and He will judge that. Okay, we're going to finish up Zephaniah when we return. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.